What up, y'all? A lot of dicks on this podcast. Eve is attending her grandparents' anniversary party, so Esteban, John, also known as Estejohn, and Dubs are here on an early in the week podcast. It's Wednesday. And guys, I do miss Eve, but I'm not totally mad at the broadcast. I'm just going to say that right now.
It's been a minute. We haven't done – have we actually ever done the broadcast? We have, right?
All cornholes matter, I think, was a
broadcast. Oh, right. Was that our last one?
Might have been.
That might be it. Yeah, I you know what's funny is that I just found out an hour ago, and so the reason this podcast is early is because I was going to be out of town this weekend to go visit my parents in Iowa. And so Rachel, my wife, went to the doctor. Yeah, you called it Esteban. Yeah, Rachel went to the doctor today. She does not have Delta, but she has bronchitis. And they want her back actually in 2 days to test for Delta again, though, just because I guess it takes longer to show up in your system. And so either way, I was like, well, I don't want to have bronchitis around my elderly parents. So we canceled, and so we could have done the podcast on Friday. But I felt like we were so close and had an agenda. Like, let's just do it, baby.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have told Eve that, but now we've recorded it, and it's going to be part of the podcast. So sorry, Eve. But no, she's doing something important. Like, her grandparents, who are in their 90s, are having an anniversary. And I brought it up on the group text, but I mean, they've probably had a ton of sex, and I think it's worth at least talking about it and thinking about it. The amount of blowjobs that her grandma has given to her grandpa, I mean, over 70 years, like,
amazing.
Over 70 years, you've probably tried everything, right? Like, we're talking ATM, right. BBC,
Cleveland Steamer.
Grandma has licked her grandfather's asshole, probably.
Balls, they've been to orgies. They've spiced it up as many times as possible. Like, you have to, and I respect them for penetrating each other through all these years.
Yeah. Do you think go older? Like, bring in an older woman at this point? Like, because they're both pretty old, probably, right? Or do you think they go younger?
Well, they're in their 90s, so I mean, if you go older, you're getting pretty close to just necrophilia, and I don't know how you.
I mean, it's really.
What do you do?
You
entice an 80-year-old or a 70-year-old? I don't know.
You're having to swipe left a lot if you're looking for the 90 over crowd. I mean, you're not getting a lot of options there. All right. Well,
I assume that I assume they don't date via apps. I assume it's still like a videotape that you plug into your VCR and you see someone tell you about themselves.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Well, that was important to talk about. I hope he's listening and thinking about that because it's important.
Hold on. So John, you're not going. So are your parents upset? They've got to be, right? They've been dying to see the grandkids. Like, what's
Yep. My mother wept, as she's wont to do. Honestly, I've become immune to her tears over the years, but I still feel a little bad. And then my dad is like, he doesn't have strong feelings about anything unless OAN or Tucker Carlson says it, so he's fine. I felt bad for my mom, and so we'll reschedule. We'll try to a weekend in August or something. I don't know.
Hey, I had an idea about getting your mom on the podcast. I know we've kicked this around, but I was thinking we tell her we're starting a podcast, and then we record something, and we just tell her it never worked out. It ended up being too expensive. Like, we give some reasonable excuse why we never released it, but we do release it anyway.
We lie to my mother.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Can I just tell you, she's had some vocal surgery in the last 10 years, and her voice she talks so slowly, and I find myself making the come on motion, like let's spit it out, and it just drives me nuts.
Okay.
So I'm gonna say my initial gut reaction is no, but also let's maybe talk about what are these gymnastics and hoops we'd have to jump through in order to perpetuate this lie to my mother.
Well, I just think I laid them out, and I think it's pretty easy, but sure.
That's
yeah.
You say. I was going to say, I brought up to you guys how we should just do it like a born-again Christian podcast and how you are a changed man, John. I think that she would come on and talk about her happiness, that you've become one with God, one with Fox News. It'd be great.
Yeah.
But that's a lie that I'd have to perpetuate until she's in the grave. I don't want to do that.
That's way harder. I think my lie of just saying, hey, we're going to try a podcast. We thought it'd be cool to have like some of our family members on. So we're doing some recording, and then just be like, yeah, it ended up being like expensive and we just never released it, Mom.
What are we going to talk about?
She'd want to hear it.
Well, yes. We could send her little podcast blip, but we just wouldn't release it. We would release it, but we would never tell her that there's a podcast.
I don't think I'm also like super stoked to tell my mom I did a failed podcast that had one shitty episode with just her that never got off the. I don't want to be a failure to my mom too. Like, I don't know. There's some things to think about.
All right.
Do you think she'd make you feel bad? Like, kind of like, John, I always thought you'd be successful, but really you're just a failure. Is that how she'd react?
No, she wouldn't. She would do her mom like encouragement, but in the back of my mind, I'd be like, yeah. You're encouraging a 37-year-old man to like not be sad that his podcast couldn't get launched off the ground, when in fact it did get launched off the ground. We're 100 episodes plus.
Ooh, baby. All right, hey.
My ego couldn't handle her disappointment.
No, that's
guys, so we're not at 100, are we?
You don't want to let her down. No, not yet. I mean, okay. There's so yes, we are of 100 pieces of content released. But the numbers of episodes, they don't count bonus episodes as episodes on the counter thing. So technically our 100th episode, it just depends on how you're looking at it. You know, to me, we're past 100.
Wow. We should have had a party or something, right? We should have celebrated.
Esteban, where were you? We talked about it. We did celebrate it on the podcast. We actually had a segment where we talked about the cool things that we've done over our first 100 episodes, and you were on the podcast participating.
I was. You're right. I don't remember it being about 100, but okay. I thought it was about a year.
No, it was 100. It's 100. We probably celebrated after a year, too. I mean, we celebrate ourselves whenever we can find these
things. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
All right, so I'm excited. Because I think we're popping Esteban's bar trivia cherry. Is that right?
Okay. That's correct.
So we're doing bar trivia today. We're focusing on comeback stories. So that's really in honor of COVID, a true underdog. COVID came out hot. Everybody hated it, did everything we could to get rid of it, made a few changes, found a Delta variant, and now is coming back, inspiring all of us that even when people hate you and try to bring you down, you can definitely overcome. So this episode's bar trivia is specific to comebacks. So all the questions are about comeback stories, and I'm going to explain the rules real quick. They're pretty basic. There's 5 rounds. Each of you guys get a question for each round. There is a steal option. So each round, the first round's worth 1 point, second round worth 2, and so on through the 5 rounds, okay? You can go for the steal if the guy doesn't get it right. So John, if I ask you a question, Esteban can go for the steal. However, if you go for the steal and you get it wrong, you get subtracted however many points that question is allotted. So this going for the steal is a little risky. It's a little risky. So
I can choose to opt out of the steal?
You can. If you do not want to go for the steal.
Well, it's more like of an opt-in. It's an opt-in, right?
Yeah, I would say it's an opt-in. I would look at it like you're on first base in a baseball game. You have to decide if you're going to try to steal second base and, you know, how risky you want to get. I will say the first couple rounds, I think, are a little bit of warm-up questions. I like your chances. As the rounds go, maybe a little bit harder. But who wants to start? Which one of you guys want to get going?
Now you can pop my cherry. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, Esteban. All right, so the first comeback question. Esteban, this gentleman came back from death and now has 2.3 billion followers across the globe.
Came back from death.
Yeah.
And has 2.3 million? Billion.
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 And you need an answer. And, all right, you're done. Sorry, I gave you a countdown. John, do you want to go for the steal?
I do not, no.
Wow, okay, it was Jesus. Jesus was the comeback story.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
John, your mom would have gotten that for sure. We should have her on Archery.
I was just thinking of which one of these Instagram thotties that I follow has the most followers.
I'm thinking of Donald Trump. Like what is going on? Like who's got this many followers? All right, yeah, that's good. Fair enough.
I thought that was an easy one. Maybe we're off to a rough start, but
really rough start.
Okay. All right. 0-0. John, yours is hopefully easier. This has been popular for most of our country's history, but lost some steam after the civil rights movement in the 1960s. It did make a huge comeback more recently during the Trump administration.
I will go with racism.
Yes, outward racism was the exact answer, but yes, that is correct. Way to get on the board. 1-0.
Racism is back, baby.
That was so much easier than the first one. Come on. The first one was a little too tricky.
Son of a bitch. I don't know. There's not that many people that have come back from death. I would argue that there's only been one. And
I was racking my brain. I'm like, is Saddam Hussein like on Twitter? Like,
I agree. That was confusing as hell, man. All right. Okay. Fine. Not old racism. That's
it's,
good.
Hey, here's the deal. It's only 1 point. A lot of game left. Right. Don't get Fair that enough. Down on yourself.
Jesus
okay.
Christ.
I'm going to go back to Esteban for round two. This is a 2-point question. You can immediately take the lead, Esteban. All right. So this is kind of a – there's two things you have to answer here. These two teams were matched up in a World Series, and one team was down 3-1. But made a gigantic comeback to win their first World Series in over 100 years. Who are those two teams? The winner, and maybe more importantly, the team that choked like a huge bunch of pussies and lost the World Series.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure this was just random assortment of questions, wasn't it, Doug? The team that won was the Chicago Cubs, ending their drought, and they beat the Cleveland Guardians, formerly known as Indians, in 2016, and that really sucked. So go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Okay. No, but that's you did get that right. That was the correct answer. Good job, Esteban. Way to get on the board and take the lead, John. To get another lead change. Potentially.
You took the lead.
Took the lead. 2 points. Time. 2 points.
Two point round, bro.
It goes up, round. John. It ratchets up.
You could take the lead right back. That's what's so exciting about bar trip.
I'm
this
excited.
Person was one of the greatest in their respective sport, but he was convicted of rape in 1992. He has since come back to participate in his sport and is now a mildly popular figure appearing in multiple movies.
Jesus. Convicted of rape?
Yeah.
Movie star? Jesus. Lawrence Taylor?
Fuck.
He is out. That is not correct. Esteban, would you like to go for the steal here?
No, I was going to guess Lawrence Taylor. So wait. I get 5 seconds. I get 5 seconds, right?
You have to decide. Are you stealing? Are you
stealing? No, get off your phone.
No, don't fucking kidding. Look at your. I saw you looking at your phone.
What do you think? Like my eyeballs tell my phone to search that? Like
Esteban, you going for the steal?
No, yes, I'm not going. Okay. No,
it was Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson. Was convicted of rape and is in multiple movies.
Did you say NFL? Did you say NFL
player? Did you say NFL?
No, I said he was one of, no, I said one of the greatest in their respective sport. That's all I said.
Oh, he did. Maybe he did.
That's all I said.
We're going to have to go back to the tapes, John, but I think that's what he said. Yeah.
Luckily, it was recorded. And
I'm in the lead, though, right?
Yeah, 2-1 after two rounds. I got to tell you, this is going great. All right, John, I'm going to go back to you here. Try to get you to rebound. Try to make a comeback, if you will. All right. This was very popular in the 1960s, but then was labeled Public Enemy Number One by Richard Nixon in 1971. More recently, this has made a comeback with state governments loosening regulations and penalties.
I'm going to go with marijuana.
Drugs was the answer, but we'll accept any type of drug, and accept marijuana here. Definitely leading towards marijuana, but any drugs would have done. You could have said drugs altogether. Yeah,
perfect.
Esteban, you got a problem?
I mean, okay, fine. I can't wait to see if there's some close connection of my future answer. You'll do the same for me, right? Because that wasn't really the answer. I don't think
it was. It was kind of the answer. It was any. He said a war on drugs. You get it. Same thing.
I thought that was Reagan. No, anyways, whatever.
Yeah,
wasn't Reagan the big war on drugs?
Okay, that's one. No one likes rule book Randy. Okay.
Right, John takes a commanding 4-2 lead, but Esteban could take the lead right back here in round three. So Esteban, this hairstyle from the 1980s has made a huge charge in the last 2 years, potentially due to its gender neutral aspects. It's now a mainstay with young people.
From the 80s?
Yep.
The bowl haircut?
John, do you want to go for the steal here?
From the 80s?
Hey, where's the countdown? Come on.
Okay, just shut up.
Yes
no,
or no?
I don't want to steal. No, I don't want to steal.
The correct answer was the mullet. The mullet. Ah!
It's not making. That's bullshit. You threw me off with making the comeback. Who wears a mullet? Who's got?
Everybody's
who has a mullet?
Rocking mullets, bro. Everybody.
I've been seeing the mullet.
Yes. Yes. It's making a comeback.
That's bullshit. That's not right.
Shut the fuck up, okay? You've complained every single time. All right, so John is currently leading 4-2 going into round four, the four-point question. Esteban, I'm going to go back to you. And by the way, I'll just warn you, question's going to get a little tougher here. So this author published one of the most influential books in the 21st century with 450 million books sold worldwide. However, 5 years prior to her first book, she was on welfare and a struggling as a single mother. Her initial manuscript was rejected 12 times by publishers.
I'm going to go with it. J.K. Rowling.
That's correct. That is a big, big yes there. Six to four. That's a four-point question.
Huge.
Wow.
Huge.
Nice job. All right. John could rip it right back. This Hollywood director was rejected by his school of choice for film three different times. He eventually secured an internship at Universal Studios and became the youngest director ever hired by the studio. His IMDb profile is now like a mile fucking long. Who am I talking about?
Jesus. Fuck, someone who makes a lot of movies?
Yep.
Martin Scorsese. Scorsese.
Can't give it to you. Esteban, do you want to go for the steal here?
I'm not doing it. Nope, too risky.
All right. Steven Spielberg.
I was going to say Spielberg. Damn it.
Yeah,
damn
yep. It. So 6-4, 6-4 lead going into the five-point round. Right now, if Esteban gets it right, he would win. John, you have to get this question right. I don't know who to go first. Actually, I'm going to go to Esteban first. So this is Esteban. This is for your win, okay, if you can get this right. And okay. John, still, you get to answer it for brownie points. But Esteban, you could go 1-0 in bar trivia. Are you soaking in kind of the size of this moment right now? Like our
it's
butterflies?
It's a pretty big deal, yeah. Thank God I got a gin and soda in my hand to quell my my nerves, you know.
Okay, here we go. This team blew a 32-point lead in the 1993 AFC wildcard playoff matchup in a game that's been labeled the comeback. John's an NFL guy. He looks like he's licking his fucking lips over there.
Washington Redskins.
Can't give it to you. It is not the Washington Redskins. John, you could win with a steal or lose if you don't get the steal right.
Oh, it's so risky.
Are you going for the
1993?
Are you going for the steal? 3, 2, 1.
No, I can't. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Okay. All right. It was the correct answer. This was kind of a tough question. The Houston Oilers was the correct answer.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
They were down.
You sandbagger.
Okay.
Hey,
okay,
that
John,
other question better be tough as fuck, all right?
It's not easy. So, John, this is for the win or the loss. And John, by the way, has, I think, a winning record in Garbage Facts. He's been involved a lot. He is a great Garbage Facts player. All right. This team held a 12-point lead with 44 seconds left against Texas A&M in the 2016 NCAA tournament. They eventually lost by 10 in overtime to a Texas A&M team led by Alex Caruso. Who is the team that blew the 12-point lead with 44 seconds left in 2016? Oof, John looks fucking lost.
I mean, basketball?
I think he's Googling with his eyes.
Kentucky.
Can't give it to you. That would be University of Northern Iowa. University of Northern Iowa. I thought you might have known that just because of the Iowa ties.
No.
Esteban, you win Garbage Facts 6-4. The
Garbage
Facts version.
Bar trivia.
Bar trivia, sorry. My bad. But what do you want to say? I mean, you're the winner. I mean, it's a big moment for you. 1-0 in your bar trivia.
I just want to say, thank you for giving me the Cleveland Indians question. I thought that was a really nice boost to my ego to get me,
softball.
Exactly. It was a softball question, and it got my wheels turning. Really helped propel me to victory. So I really appreciate that, and all of my fans. thank you for your support.
Yeah, yeah. I actually, most of the emails I get from fans are about why isn't Esteban listed on the podcast? So, yeah, I mean, it's...
God damn it. Yeah, John, I should actually thank John for his great opponent efforts and also not including me on the podcast.
Those are some tough questions, guys. I really thought, I honestly thought Mullet was going to be a layup. I thought Jesus was going to be a layup. I thought Mike Tyson was going to be a layup. But yeah, no, those, you guys didn't bring your A game. I think Eve would have dominated, just saying.
You think she would have said Tyson?
I don't know, no. Probably not.
She definitely would. Who has a mullet? Come on. Anyways.
And I also don't know why I didn't go right to, I went right to the NFL on that question. Like,
me too.
Is it just because, like, per capita, they have the largest concentrated, like, domestic abusers and rapists?
Yeah, I think you heard rape and you were like, oh, NFL player.
Yeah, and that must have been, we Esteban and I both went there.
I went to Lawrence Taylor as well, yeah. I almost was going to steal that one, actually. Like, if you didn't say that.
If I didn't say Lawrence Taylor, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I the only thing I regret is at the end I made a bit of a faux pas and said garbage facts. We are not doing garbage facts.
Best podcast, what we regarded as. P&P in this bitch, where the party at? We know some dope ass shit that be hard to match, but we are not doing garbage facts. Let's go.
John killed it that segment when he said it has quote unquote run its course. So since we're not doing that segment, I did want to share the fact that we are not going to talk about some facts, and I'm going to just give you what those facts are that we're not going to talk about because we're not doing garbage facts. Here are a couple things. Jeopardy contestants stand on adjustable platforms, so they are all the exact same height. That's a fact, for instance, that we're not going to discuss because we're not doing garbage facts. Esteban, did you have anything that you wanted to share, you know, like a fact, for instance, that we're not going to share?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, actually, all this comeback talk had me thinking about when the Red Sox overcame a 3-0 deficit to defeat the Yankees back in the 2004 American League Championship Series. That was a great moment, one of the greatest comebacks, if not the greatest of all time. However, the garbage fact is that the last time a pitcher – oh, sorry. There's only been 19 World Series clinching shutout victories in history. The last time that happened was Josh Beckett on short rest when he beat the Yankees with the Marlins to effectively end their dynasty the year before in 2003. So just a couple of things to enrich the conversation about the Yankees losing in major, you know, big time stage games. So, yeah, that's
solid.
All.
Solid yeah. Garbage fact.
Nice. Yeah, well, yeah. It's not
garbage fact.
It's not a garbage fact.
It's not a garbage fact because, yeah, it's not.
It's just a fact about the Yankees being garbage.
Exactly.
God damn it. John, is there anything that you would have covered if we were doing the garbage fact segment that we're not doing?
Yeah, totally. So I've all over the local news lately has been stories about how, was it Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the creators of South Park? I think that's their names. They're looking to actually purchase Casa Bonita, the large Mexican restaurant in Lakewood, Colorado, that's like got cliff divers and shitty food, but is a great like family experience. And so South Park did an episode around Casa Bonita in the year 2003. And so my garbage fact, or would be my garbage fact if we were doing garbage facts, but we're not doing
facts, is
the actual Casa Bonita restaurant tracks when the Casa Bonita episode of South Park airs to ensure that they have enough staff to meet the increased demand the following day.
About it. Okay.
Why not?
Okay.
So wait, what is cliff divers? Hold on. You said cliff divers?
Yeah, they have cliff divers.
What does that mean? What is it? Like, they dive off of a cliff into the water or something?
Yeah. They have people, they have dudes in like little, you know, those weird spandexy things that swimmers wear, and they climb up to like an indoor cliff and they dive into a gigantic pool that's in this gigantic restaurant / complex.
It's amazing. Can we go to this?
Have you guys not seen the Casa Bonita episode of South Park? Like,
I had no idea what you're talking about. I am fascinated by the fact that this place has to staff up based on when South Park airs that episode, though. I mean, that's an interesting fact that normally I'd be interested in, but since we're not talking about those facts, I'm not going to spend too much time on it. So, yeah, if I was taking out the trash for garbage facts, I would have said, you know, hey, how about Jeopardy? All the contestants on this are the same height. The Yankees choked, and you know this restaurant has to track when South Park airs a specific episode to meet increased demand. So those would have been the things we could have covered, but we're not going to do garbage facts anymore. So
yeah, yeah, really. RIP garbage facts. Yeah, RIP.
By the way, I'm having like traumatic memory about the Yankees choking. And was that did Curt Schilling have that fake bloody sock that time, or was that a different time?
That was the 2009 World Series, I believe, right? Because wasn't he on the Phillies or not? Was he a Philly?
No, he was a Red Sox.
He was a Red Sox?
Yeah.
Curt Schilling? No. Are you sure he wasn't Diamondback at that point? How many teams did he play?
I'm 100% he was a Red Sox. And I think we're gonna have to look that up.
Early 2000s baseball. Riveting.
Yeah. That was the golden era.
A last thing we got to talk about before we actually have an interview that's going to come on and then a fun top threes. But last thing, should we touch on the Olympics? Because the Olympics has been kind of spicy. I mean, we have some cool Americans doing cool shit. Simone Biles, my God, took over the internet for like a couple of days. I actually think she's still taking over the internet. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things going on. I don't really know where to start. I'm just going to open up the topic. Hey, Olympics, talk about it. What are we thinking?
I mean, are you guys watching? Because John, your time zones must be a little bit brutal, right? Because it's like, because some of these events are in the morning, so it's got to be like 4 a.m. for you. Like if anything of this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not tuning in live, and some of the stuff that I'm able to catch is late at night, and so I typically just nod off and fall asleep in my movie theater room. So it's okay.
Esteban, I will say I don't. They play a lot of replay. I've been confused by the broadcast. Let me just say that.
I am too. It took me like three different tries. I was like, is this shit on Peacock? The NBC Sports app? Is it on the NBC channel? Is this a replay? Is this live? I don't understand.
Yes.
And it makes me feel old. I'm not too old to like not understand.
I'm glad
watching TV.
John, you're making me feel so much better because I actually wrote some of these things down, but I was like, don't admit, like, slow play this information because it's sort of embarrassing. Like, I didn't know if I was the only one out here, like, I don't understand how to use this thing. So, yeah, okay, I'm struggling with that. I did stay up last night. It was probably the first event I watched live. I think it was
live. Are you sure it was live? Like,
it says live. Actually, if it's live, it says the live in the upper right. That's how I found out. Yeah.
Well, it was live to me because I didn't know what had happened, but it was the 1500 meter swimming.
Ledecky.
Yeah,
right?
And it was the woman's event. Apparently, it's the first time that they've ever swam that. Like, we finally decided women can swim that far. And I was blown away by how many laps are involved in a 1500 meter. Like, I was exhausted watching, sitting on my couch, not moving, watching people swim for 1500 meters.
It's long in the middle of the race. They go to commercial break.
Yeah.
And then they come back. They do commercials. They have like split screen with commercials. Like they're just, they're like, yeah, there's like 15 minutes before the race ends. So we'll be back.
Yeah. And, Ledecky, you know, I'm disappointed when we said last time, like I said, do you guys know any Olympians? I should know Ledecky. I remembered her after I saw her, and I was like, oh yeah, this chick is like next level beast mode. And I know she lost one of the events that she usually performs well in. She's also ancient though, like in Olympic terms. Like
how old is she?
I think she's over 30 something, right?
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Oh, is she really? Oh, that is pretty old, actually.
You know what? I'm realizing that I'm saying this, and I have no idea if that's accurate at all. I just have seen her in so many Olympics, I assume she's ancient because they have to wait 4 years for those things to happen. But anyway, she was that was kind of badass.
That's my thought. That's my same thought whenever I see Megan Rapinoe. I'm like, is she in her 40s?
Well, and what the basketball team, what's her name? Diana Taurasi is on it. And I'm like, isn't she in her 40s? Like these people have been around way too long to still be their stars in these Olympic sports, right?
Yeah, here's the best part of this whole thing. She's 24 years old, Ledecky.
Wow. Yeah, ancient,
fucking,
yeah.
Fucking close to no idea what I'm talking about. Lost all credibility to the Olympics fans right now.
Guys,
but she's awesome.
Well, let me get you off some of these fringe sports. What about Greg Popovich coaching Olympic basketball? Is he the worst Olympic coach ever?
Why is he bad though? Like, why? I just what is his style? Well, like, okay,
here's why you're bad. When you have a fucking all-star team and you're not winning every game, like, just right there is it's unacceptable when you're playing a team where the best player is Rudy Gobert and you have Kevin Durant, Devin, you know, all these fucking guys, and you can't blow them out by 30 points. Like, that's enough for me.
Yeah, why he's bad is that in the last, like, what, 20-plus years, I believe the U.S.'s exhibition record was, like, 70-2. And then that ballooned apparently to what 70-5. Like, he just lost all the exhibition games and then proceeded to shit their pants versus France, which, yeah, we've got Kevin Durant and I don't know why I went there. But and Damian Lillard is on the team. Like, Dame time, yeah. More like lame time. God.
Ooh, yeah, but you guys you guys have seen like the now famous replay that they keep doing of like Durant and all these guys bricking three pointers at the end. Like, they couldn't hit anything.
Kevin Durant couldn't make a ball into an ocean off the pier. Like, I don't know what was happening.
But why is that possible?
He's like Tyler Harrow out there, just brick city. I actually watched that, which I thought was live. It turned out to not be live. But I was watching it live for me, and I was like, oh, my God, these guys look like they're in my rec basketball league. The other thing that looks like the Iran basketball team, we beat them by like 60 points today. They look like they went to their local YMCA over 35 league and put together. Their best player looked at least 45 years old. Like, and they played no defense. It looked like the way I play defense, where I get kind of tired and I just like let people shoot. And it was like, oh, that's Dame Lillard. Let me let him shoot a wide open three and see if he'll miss. And it's like, well, no, he will make that shot.
For some reason, when I think of Iran, I just think of like unfiltered cigarettes, and that really ages a person.
You know what? You're right. It reminds all of their players, and I don't think he's Iranian, but they all remind me of Vlade Divac, who I think smoked like three packs a day.
And they can't make money off of just basketball, so they're like probably also like plumbers, or I assume in Iran it's pretty hot, so there's a lot of HVAC workers. So yeah, they also probably have second jobs.
I can't let this go. I'm sorry, but like, guys, you guys keep saying Iran. Like, you say Iran and Iraq, don't you? Right? Like, Iran is like the more appropriate global way of saying it. Yeah.
John
we have a lot of fans here. You know,
John went with France earlier.
France.
Sorry, Iran, Iraq. I will correct my vernacular.
No, but I was gonna say Trae Young should be on the team. But did you guys how much more exciting would it be with a guy like that playing? Did you guys see the video of him hitting like a three pointer at the end in a high school gymnasium? Like, it was like a tie game and the clock was running out. It just came out like a day or two ago. I should have sent it to you guys. Did you see this?
High school players or what?
No, I think he has a new gym in his town named after him. And they decided to like sub him in at the last seconds, and he hit the game winner, like a three. Like, he had to hit a three to win the game.
I think the result would be the same because you still have the same head coach who shits his pants in the Olympics.
I think very anti-pop.
Also, has Greg Pop, ever since the league kind of changed into this fast-paced league, don't you feel like the Spurs kind of suck and Greg Popovich may have just like be done with? Like, ever since he lost Kawhi.
Ever since they drove away Kawhi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hold on. Are we getting into – okay, what about Kawhi like just sort of disappearing this playoffs? Or do we find this as like kind of a broken record scenario? Like, maybe there's something to it.
Well, I've talked about this before, but Kawhi has a real problem with medical staffs. If you remember, he got really mad at the Spurs.
He doesn't trust – he got jaded with the San Antonio medical staff. Yeah.
Yep. And now – and that he was the same problem with the Clippers. They said that they misdiagnosed his knee and it's all fucked up, and he was blaming the medical staff again. In fact, I read that the reason the Clippers like had him questionable for every game is because he was not allowing their medical staff to evaluate him at all. And they were just like, we don't fucking know what's wrong with Kawhi. He's basically telling us that he can't play today, and so we're questionable every game. Because now, he had surgery after the season. Like, right when it ended, it was like, yeah, he was never going to play. If the Clippers made it to the finals, he was done for the season. He just didn't let anybody know.
I think I'd be pissed if I was a Clippers fan or a player on that team with him. Like, be more transparent. I don't know.
I guess. He might have told the players. I mean, you never know. But, yeah, Kawhi is a weird dude. I don't know how we got into Kawhi.
Is he weird? Like, he never says anything. I wish he'd say something.
Well, that's probably why he's weird, right? Like, he's a star.
Yes.
Cue the Kawhi laugh. Cue the Kawhi laugh. And if you've heard that, he's fucking weird.
Please play that, yeah.
Is anything else on the... Oh, should we... Let's take a second to talk about Simone Biles, because...
Yeah.
Simone Biles, there was a lot about her, and I'll start with one thing I read, and maybe you guys can shed light on it, because I don't really understand it. I read somewhere that she was not... Like, they told her she was not going to be able to get a certain amount of points for the move she was doing, because the moves she was doing have never been done before. Like, they were just, like, so ridiculous that, I don't know, she couldn't qualify for maximum points. That was, like, a storyline. And then, obviously, the second storyline was that she withdrew from the team event due to kind of mental issues and worrying about getting injured, which, you know, there was a lot of fighting on the internet about. But can I start with the first point? Does anyone know about the first point, about something to do with her not being able to get, like, the maximum mm-hmm. points?
No, I read it, but I wasn't really – what I thought I read was somebody's critique of it, that they were not allowing her previously earned points to be counted towards the team score. That's what I had read, but I have no idea what you're talking about, which is like which is that she's like doing too amazing of stuff and therefore doesn't get credit for it. That I haven't heard. But
okay. I also had not heard that she was like reinventing the sport, so she had to like leave it. No, I'd not heard that at all. I will also say I've not watched probably a single minute of gymnastics in my life. It just doesn't interest me to watch midgets like walk around on a board and like do little flips. But what has been entertaining is watching, you know, Clay Travis and the rest of the shit stains of America react to Simone Biles withdrawing from the Olympics and just like, for some reason, all of a sudden care about U.S. Olympic gymnastics when they've not said a single thing in the past about it. So that's been kind of funny. All of a sudden, right-wing douchebag America cares about Olympic gymnastics. So, okay.
Okay, can I read this quick thing? I'm sorry. The whole time you were talking, I was looking up my...
No, I saw.
Okay.
He was talking about Fox News, OAN stuff.
And I do want to get into...
Mainly Clay Travis, the fucking scumbag anus taint of America. But yeah,
who is that?
I didn't hear, John, I didn't hear what you said, so I apologize if this was redundant. But the fact that people are insulting Simone Biles for withdrawing from the Olympics, first of all, as I understand it, she's jumping like a million miles in the sky, doing flips and shit. And if she's not like focused and falls weird, like she could get seriously injured. The second thing is this organization that she's competing for had an employee molest her, and other employees, you know, basically turn a blind eye / protect the molester, and she's competing for them. And oh, she might deal with some mental issues while she's competing. Like, never walked an inch in those shoes. Certainly not going to be the one that points fingers and be like, how could you possibly be struggling with competing for this organization or country, or just in general, anything to do with your mental health. That would be my take on the Simone Biles situation. And, you know, keyboard warriors, probably fat, sloppy, non-athletic keyboard warriors are like, whoa, should have won that gold. Fuck Simone Biles. What a quitter. Fuck those guys.
You know, I watched, and John, you guys probably saw this, even if you weren't watching the actual events themselves, but there were commercials or like little snippets of video where Simone Biles, before the Olympics even started, was talking about it, and you could tell that she was already weighed down by the pressure, because she was talking in the interview about how the weight of the world was on her, and, you know, thank God she has her family, you know, to support her. It was like weirdly foreshadowing her mental anxiety with all of this. It was actually really fascinating when you think back to it. And this was just like a couple days ago, right before it all happened. But wait, Dubs, you would tell us your findings here.
Yeah, my comments were sort of correct. So specifically, the controversy is that Biles is doing moves that few, if any, gymnasts can do, including her male colleagues, But instead of getting full points for her moves, she and those who watch the sport feel that the judges aren't scoring her fairly and are not giving her moves their proper value. With Biles' overall dominance, missing a few tenths here and there can feel trivial, but try to imagine the absurdity of shortchanging greatness and why it's happening to arguably the greatest athlete of all time. So that was a little excerpt that I was trying to reference that I honestly don't understand, but I wasn't that like far off is how I read that.
Very sort dramatically cool. Written. That's like, that's dripping with drama. Yeah.
I mean, someone who cares a lot about Olympic gymnastics, which I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to get turned up for it. I can't really get into an organization that's, you know, the Penn State
the
of worst, Olympic gymnastics.
Worst organization. I mean, unbelievable. Yeah. If you haven't watched Athlete A on Netflix, it is the most disturbing documentary I have ever
really
watched.
Okay. All right. I'll turn
it
into it.
So unbelievable how many people knew about this situation and just didn't do shit about it. Or like Yeah, it'll make you angry. And then obviously that Larry, whatever his name from Michigan State is just the worst guy ever. But anyway.
So I was actually thinking about this, right? Because I was thinking about the comparisons to like the NCAA is horrific. And there's no – or the USA Gymnastics is terrible. There's no question about it. Like they have that camp in Texas or whatever where it's like you're like a slave to the gymnast society or whatever. But – I will say I have heard the stories out of like China and some of these other places with the gymnastics teams are even more hardcore than what they do in the US. Like I feel like the US one is like just tip of the iceberg of what they do with these girls who are like 10 years old, basically being training every day for hours a day to do this. Right. Like
there's a large campus as well. Like an hour south of me in Colorado Springs. I don't know why I volunteered that, but yeah. I hope it's not happening. Well, hope they're not killing them or whatever.
Esteban, I think to your point, we actually in the United States, we women have a much greater rights and I think appreciation to go play sports, and little girls are encouraged to do that compared to in other countries where it's like if you're going to decide to do this, you're going to be basically used. And so I absolutely believe that in other countries it's a whole different.
Totally. I think that's why our women like dominate soccer is that we have infrastructure. We have infrastructure built up around women and young girls getting into soccer.
Yeah. Little 5-year-old girls. Yeah.
And collegiate programs and leagues. Like, that's infrastructure that other countries don't necessarily have.
And that's why the U.S. women are inspiring to not just like our country, but a lot of other countries love the U.S. women's soccer team. Cause it's like, those are girls that, you know, we can't even, in our country, we can't do anything like this. And these girls have been doing it their whole life. Go get them, ladies.
I will also say, go get them, ladies. If I happen upon the ladies' beach volleyball, I'm staying there. I'm not turning. I'm not turning.
That's must-see TV.
They don't keep it on long enough. I hate that. They always turn away. Although you probably use the NBC Sports app or whatever, right?
Is that what you're
using? That's the key. Yep. They never stay on it long enough.
Also, I watched a lot of men's volleyball, and we'll talk about that later. But the women's volleyball is much better because they don't have as much power. Like the men fucking screaming in 200 mile an hour spikes, and it just, you know, ricochets off someone and goes out of bounds. Whereas the women don't have as much power, so there's more volleys.
I've noticed. Yes,
and that's a good watch. You just don't want to see spike after spike that has no return. Like women's volleyball is actually cool to watch.
And even though they're not hitting as hard as men, there's still a lot of power on a lot of.
I would be shattered into a million pieces if one of their volleyballs. Yeah, definitely.
But you're right.
I mean, I say they don't have a lot of power also, and let me preface it with I don't have that much power.
The men, you're right though. The men hit the ball so hard, there's no way to return it. Like if they get it past the blocker guy, I mean that ball is flying at a pace that is just not possible.
It's hitting a non-existent person in the crowd because there's no attendees at this Olympics.
So true. All right. Anything else on the Olympics? I think we've hit on all the hard-hitting topics so far. Anything else we got?
Yeah, I hope that Simone comes back next week for those other events. Hopefully, she returns.
Go win something, Simone. We're rooting for you. That's we got a little interview coming with John's roommate, so we'll get into what that's about, and then the top three just a little, you know, top three things you can say during your family dinner, but you can also say during sex. It's going to be great.
All right. Hey, guys, we're joined by one of my best friends in the world, Brock. He is a friend from college. We stayed in touch over the years, hung out various times. Like, the guy was in my wedding, as you know what? Actually, everyone in this podcast was on my wedding.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Brock joins us. He's hanging out with me in Colorado as he searches for, well, actually, not even searches for a job, just landed a gigantic job today. And then is going to get himself set up with a sweet mansion or apartment here in the near future. Yeah, but Brock, introduce yourself. Say whatever you want to say. He comes to you straight live from my basement.
Yes, I am in the Don's new basement. And it's fantastic down here. It's luxurious. Yeah. I'm coming from Orange County, California, originally from Iowa. Trying to land came out to John the Don place and, you know, looking to get a job and move back closer to the Midwest and kind of over California at this point.
Two things I want to mention. One, Brock and I were ushers in John's wedding, which we have kind of a bond already. And that's second right. of all, John, going back to your intro, I think you introduced Brock as one of your best friends in the entire world. How would you introduce me if you were to introduce me?
Oh, I mean, definitely. Hey, this guy's in my second tier of best friends in the world.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's what
did I freeze or did everyone else freeze?
I think you froze.
Yeah, you definitely froze.
But we got.
Did I land the joke, though? Did I land the joke?
Yeah.
Just a little delayed, but it was you landed it, yeah. And to add on top of that is that I was at that wedding. When was that? How many years ago is that now?
Oh, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago.
I was at that wedding, and I was not invited to be an usher. So pretty pissed about that. Pretty upset that Brock and Dubs got to be, you know, actually, you know, welcomed into your inner circle, and I wasn't there. So
it's okay, such though. A low it's bar okay. as well.
Well, Esteban, I'm sorry you've been carrying that for so many years. You know, if it was now, you would definitely be in the wedding.
Yeah, Brock, is there a better job than being an usher? Usher is the best job in a wedding.
It was very low responsibility, and I didn't take it very. You know, I'm a subpar usher, I must say, but yeah, you kind of guided me through it, so.
What did you guys do? What did you guys actually have to do?
Like, oh, they didn't do a fucking thing. Nothing.
We literally stood at the door. We stood at the door and waited for people to come and then stuck our arm out and seated them randomly, basically, or asked them which side they needed to be on.
So I'll tell a quick funny story about ushing. At the end of the wedding, I didn't know that we were supposed to ush people out of the wedding. So it was kind of just like a mad, weird situation where everyone left. So I get to, like at the end – you got to hug John and Rachel, like, hey, congratulations. They were kind of at the end as you leave. And I hug Rachel, and she goes, what are you doing? You're supposed to be helping people leave. I was like, oh, congrats, Rachel. And she was, like, really upset with me for fucking up the ushing. But I blame Brock in hindsight.
So wait, Brock. We Brock, how did, so you're an Iowan. How did you and John and how'd you guys meet?
So I went to Buena Vista University with John. The first 2 years, and then I flunked out on purpose. Basically, I stopped going to class at midterm and played NBA Live and paid to play baseball.
Knights of the Old Republic. My favorite Knights joke is Republic. To say that I loaned Brock my copy of Knights of the Old Republic, and it made him drop out of college.
I played probably 50 hours of that. And 2 days, 3 days, and it was they were pretty crucial 2 or 3 days as well, if I do remember correctly. It was my hometown college. I basically knew everybody that was there before I even showed up on campus. I was the DJ at Malarkey's. I don't know if you guys have ever been there before. John and I had the Malarkey, or we had the monopoly on DJing in that entire town for about 2 years. Wow. Yep. He was the strip club. I was the nightclub.
Oh, wow. Yeah. First of all, I like the math that you played that video game 50 hours in a 2-day period, which
doesn't add up. Putting in crazy overtime.
that's my favorite part of that. that. But yeah, no, that sounds awesome. So you guys ran that town. So now we got to hear about this. You're living in John's basement and have for almost a month now. Is that fair?
About 3 weeks.
Okay.
I quit my job on July 1st. I was out here a couple days later, and just kind of doing the job search, doing some CrossFit. Once a week.
Really?
Oh, wow.
No, I'm not into CrossFit whatsoever. Yeah, I've gone twice, and the first one put me out of commission for about 6 days. 5 days. It was bad. I could barely walk. Lots of respect to John for showing up.
Tell us about John's performance. Can you give us a real sense? Like, don't take it easy.
He's not bad. Like, honestly, I knew him when he was a fat tub of shit.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, when he was 20.
We all.
I mean, it was probably the worst shape of his life. The dude was pounding 16 beast ice a night. Didn't do anything physical. Now he's killing it. I mean, he's not like a high performer, but he shows up every single day. So that gets my respect. I can't.
What do you think? I'm the glue guy.
And by the way, the worst shape of his life. That shape is round, if I remember correctly. That the shape that we're going after is.
It definitely resembles a pear.
Wait, Brock. What about the selfies? Tell us. What's your thoughts on that? Is it okay for a guy to take that many selfies in a row?
I've never seen him do it in action. As long as it's private.
Okay.
Wow. As long as it's private. It's totally fine.
Esteban, I know you see my selfies on the gram, but I do it sneaky. I just pull my phone up, bloop, selfie, back down. Because I don't want to be the guy, you know, that's pushing 40 over here in the corner taking a fucking selfie in front of everyone, like posing and shit. Like, I just bloop.
Well, just for the record, you are that guy. That's
you. You are. You are.
Just to check the facts on that. No, I want to. So the one thing we have to get into, Brock, you're living with John's family. And you're living in his newly refinished basement. There has to be some drama that goes on within John. And for instance, when we stopped recording, I think I heard John say, "Get the fuck out of here," to Xander, who was in the bathroom, or someone that was in the bathroom. I don't know if that's true or not. But
no, I listen, I knocked on the door, and Charlotte, my daughter, is in there on her iPad taking a 50-minute long poop.
Well, you said, "Get the fuck out of here," to someone.
I did not say that. Oh, no, I did. I think it was to my cat. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, and we know how much you love cats. All right, but Brock, for real, give us some drama. Like, how are things going with being part of the family, kind of? And are you and Rachel getting along? Because I think as married men, Esteban and I's first thoughts were, man, our wives would hate Brock. Not like you personally, but the idea of a roommate.
Correct. And I totally get that, and it's something I'm very conscious about. I believe Rachel and I get along really well. I don't know. Who knows, though? I'm trying to – I don't know Rachel all that well, to be honest with you. I come out here, you know, once, twice a year, hang out with these guys. Honestly, I feel like John's close enough to be a brother of mine, and that's why I'm here. Yep, John's an OG friend of mine, and he's a great guy.
Any family drama going on though, Brock? Any like give us on like something dirty going on there?
Yeah, I heard John's mom cry today. It was the saddest thing ever. It was the saddest shit ever. I don't know if you want to air out what happened.
Yeah, let's
but,
go.
Rachel's sick. John's mom wanted to do Christmas in July because they didn't have their vaxes. And John had to cancel on him today, and it was heartbreaking to hear to hear John's mom just express her disappointment in her son because she loves him so much.
By the way, how Brock heard this is that I decided to soften the blow by FaceTiming my mother with my youngest son, Xander, sitting in my lap. So I thought that might soften it a little bit.
I don't think that's
soft. I don't think it
did not.
That probably just makes it hurt more, actually.
And by the way, I love Brock. He's my boy. Like, honestly, I'm great if you live here until the rest of time. And we just get graves next to each other here in Castle Rock. But yeah, I mean, I wanted him on to, yeah, it creates, you know, are there some funny tensions? Like, not really, because we've like settled into a very like decent routine. And it's,
and because, I don't because know, your I love house it. Is, your wait, house wait, is so
wait.
Big.
My house is, honestly, with the basement now finished, my house is fucking cavernous. Like, it's... the basement is a wing, the basement wing. So it's like, you know, yeah.
Brian, if this is an apartment in Orange County. I mean, if this is an apartment in Orange County, it'd be $3,000 a month down here in the basement. Oof. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Brock, are you allowed to bring dates home?
I'm not going to press that just yet. I shouldn't be here too much longer. Landed a job. Just wanted to get that out of the way before.
Honestly, Brock, now that you're in the home stretch here, I think now's the time where you could probably get away with it, because like you're almost out anyway. So I mean, I think, you know, how about this? Try to do it one time before you leave, and then we'll have you back on to see how it went.
Give us the play-by-play. Yeah.
So how am I gonna sneak that around Rachel?
I mean, yeah, that's the thing, right? I don't think Rachel would view, you know, Brock bringing home Skanky Stacy all that great. Like, I don't know.
Hey, John, has Rachel not, like, my wife, whether she loved Brock or not, and it sounds like that's going pretty well, but I know my wife, at least in a moment of frustration, probably with me more than anything else, would be, like, give me shit about having a roommate. Has that happened yet? Has Rachel been like, what the fuck?
I mean, we had a very upfront conversation before it happened, and, okay, you know, we both, you know, I said, hey, I want to do this. I want Brock to come here. And like, this is something he would do for me. And like, yeah, this is a good thing that we're like, yeah, not that I'm fucking Mother Teresa, but like, yo, I'm like, this is one of my best friends in the world. Like, I want him to be here and do this. And I don't want to put a time limit on it. I don't want us to be like breathing down his neck. And she's like, yep, I get it. That's cool. You know, he just,
it was actually, you know, Rachel's idea, you know, several months ago. She offered.
She did. She's like, you'll get Brock out here. He needs to get out of this weird headspace he's in the OC. And she's like, you know, just don't let it last through, you know, 2022 or 2023. I'm like, okay, fair.
Yeah. How awesome is that?
That is pretty awesome.
This couple is special, and many blessings to them.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Mazel tov.
I want to go to you, because you had a roommate, you had a relationship, a long-term relationship, you had a roommate come and live with you, and that ended your relationship in a roundabout way or in some way. Is that fair? I mean, tell us the story. Give us the story.
Yeah, well, first off, how big was the space that was taking?
Let's remind everyone, John's house is huge.
John's got a huge house, a huge
cavernous deck.
Huge deck and a really nice basement. Do you have a deck,
Dick.
John? Or no, I actually, a deck? Do you have a huge deck?
I do have a nice dick. Or a deck, yes.
You have a huge deck. Yeah. No, so keep in mind that I am married to John's wife's sister. And so this, you know, wonderful, happy marriage. But the relationship just prior to that, I was living in a two-bedroom place near Princeton, and my best friend growing up and my sister separately came to live because they were looking for jobs in the New York area, and they stayed for like 6 months each, two people and me and my wife, and my sister was really
not your wife. It wasn't your wife.
Well, my girlfriend. So I'm so used to saying wife, but yeah, my girlfriend. Yeah.
Roughly how old were you at this time?
I was 23. No, 24.
Yeah. 24. I mean, if a 23-year-old me showed up here, maybe a little bit different story.
Fair enough, Brock. Fair enough. That's a good point. No, but I mean, it was a disaster. So you've got to like do these things calculated in the correct way. You got to even smooth it out. I'm sure you guys had the full conversation with Rachel. That's the right way to do it. So well done. 24 me did not do it that way. So kudos to you both.
Yeah, I mean, the major thing I'm walking on eggshells on is I smoke weed. Rachel doesn't. John doesn't. I'm pretty
Xander doesn't.
I like smoking weed. Xander doesn't. Yes, exactly. So, you know, that whole thing is the only thing that I'm struggling with. But other than that.
Wait, are you not smoking weed?
It doesn't sound like you're struggling. Brock, it doesn't seem like this is a struggle at all. I mean, I see you duck out back quite a bit.
I do, of course. I mean, it's a struggle.
I thought he was taking that in a whole other way.
No, it's a struggle. Because I know I'm smoking. I know I'm ducking out.
Brock utilizes the deck more than
the big deck, the huge.
So, Brock, when you say you're struggling with it, it means you feel a little guilty while you still do it all the time.
Exactly. That's how addiction works, my friends. but I will say, in my defense, I was smoking an eighth a day. You know, in California, that's $60 a day minimum on weed. And now I'm smoking less than a gram a day. So, you know, far less than a gram a day. And,
that's good. Personal
growth. Yeah, what is an eighth? What's an eighth?
3.5 grams. 3.5. So
how long have you been out the drug game, Esteban? God damn.
It's been a while. It's been a minute. It
was. So 3.5 grams would be an eight ball of weed, if you will.
Correct.
Well said, John. And honestly, good lead in to Double T's top three. So let's get into Double T's top threes. We're going to talk about the top three things you can say during your family dinner, but that you can also say during sex. God, I really don't know where this is going to go. But, Brock, you're the guest. You want to start? I mean, it feels like you should.
I'm going to baste that turkey.
I can definitely see that. I mean, the dinner thing is obvious, but I just played it in my head. I just played it in my head saying that to my wife. And I think I could get away with that.
I also love how you put like a question mark at the end of it.
I think I've said it before. You know,
for dinner or for sex?
Both.
I remember. Both. I don't think I've ever made a turkey in my life. So
there you go. Okay, that was a good one. That was a good start, Brock.
Way to kick us off. Yeah.
Yeah, John, what do you got, man?
Well, Brock, if you stay through Thanksgiving, we'll make a turkey together, buddy. And especially if you're in the area. Pass me the gravy. So, obviously say that at dinner with turkey. That gravy is what my wife and I call lube. So we pass around the gravy quite a bit.
Okay.
Wow, we just got a window into Castle Rock household.
Hey,
there.
By the way, Brock, living there, have you heard John say pass the gravy?
Loudly?
I have not.
Okay, all right. I'm glad that it hasn't got to that level yet. All right, Esteban, what do you got? You're number three.
All right. My number three is, that was delicious. Next time we should invite the neighbors and have them bring wine.
Well, I mean, a little wordy. Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, it plays.
After sex. That was a post-sex thing.
Oh, okay. Right I after. Was thinking you were
that
going
was
to
delicious.
A swinger situation.
I was. I was indeed.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Okay. That's factual. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. All right, I got one. Hey, don't spit that out. It's good for you.
Tasty.
Okay.
Tasty.
I just have a picture in my head of you yelling that at your kids and then also screaming that into your wife's sweaty face. I'm grossed out.
Yeah, it was a little gross. It was a little gross. Let's go to number two. Brock, what do you got?
I'm going to have to pass on this one. Give me a second.
Okay.
Go around.
All right. Let's come back to him.
I like the honesty there. All right. John, what do you got?
Oh, my God. I'm going to come. I say that obviously if I eat something super delicious, I want to convey my joy for it, especially to my family. I want them to know that it's orgasmic. And then, you know, I'd love to call out when I'm going to fucking, you know, empty it. So.
Yeah, so obviously that was easy to understand the sex part. I was just thinking of little Xander looking at his dad yelling after eating a nice bite of Hawaiian pizza going, oh, my God, I'm going to come. And Xander being like, yes, daddy.
God.
Yeah, shit gets complicated with kids, huh?
It's troublesome.
Sure does. Esteban, where are you going here?
I'm going to go, hey, would you please pass the jelly?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Sort of to John's situation. With
yeah, the- I hate it that you did that. Wait. I had a backup. I had a backup since you already did that. Ready?
You're going again?
Yeah. Can I have a nip?
Oh, something else you can say at a dinner and sex. You're going again?
Can I have a nibble of your cake?
I mean, okay. I think that does sound like something that they would call, like the British people would call a vagina, a cake.
Yeah.
Cake? I don't know. I mean, I think so.
Yeah. So I think that's good. I'm going to go with another thing that this is kind of from my wife's perspective, again, yelling at my kids and also yelling at me. Stop playing with it and just eat it. Okay. I'm just gross. I'm gross. I'm just really disgusting.
And the face kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth when you
the only person that laughs at those are Brock. Brock's like giggling over there. The rest of you guys are like, oh, disgusting. All right, Brock, have you Googled? Have you figured this out? Were you, by the way,
I have not Googled. Were you? But who's ready for stuffing?
Good timing. Good comedic timing.
Good. I like it.
Yeah. You did nail that. Could you say? Okay. All right. We're down to the number ones. This is the big finish. I feel like everything I say now could be said during sex and during
this is the big finish.
all right, John, why don't you get us going in the final round here?
You can go ahead and come inside. I'm on the pill.
Yeah, that's great that you'd that's dinner for sure. Yeah.
Comes up at all my family dinners. All of them.
That's good stuff, John. I really like that. And no explanation needed. Let's not even dive into where that comes up in dinner. I think it can be used all the time. Esteban, where are you going here?
Your fish tacos tonight were exquisite.
Yep. I mean. All right, I'm going to go with, it doesn't look very big, but it fills you up.
That's good. All right, touche. Yeah. I like that. Finally, you got one.
I got one. Bad taste. Yeah. All right, Brock, close us out. What you got, man?
It's a lot of pressure. You guys have me closing this out, and I'm coming out the top of the dome.
Which could be sexual. Coming off the top of the
coming
dome.
Off the top of the dome.
Coming off the top of the dome. I'm sorry. I got nothing, sir. Someone bad.
I actually think, I'm sorry, I got nothing, sir. Could.
It could be a. Yeah.
It's okay. Hey.
Actually, you know what, Brock?
We're very inclusive.
I think that just the words, first of all, the fact that you're doing double T's top threes without any prep and just off the top of the dome is impressive. Second of all,
I had two out of three. I'll call.
Saying, I'm sorry, just leaving it at that, I think would play in both sex and dinner, maybe.
I did clue him into what the top three were a couple hours ago, but then when I came downstairs to let him know, hey, it's time to join the podcast, I interrupted a very vigorous game of Civilization 6.
Yeah, well, he had to go on the deck.
I was also helping Charlotte build a fort.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah, your parenting.
I'm like Uncle Joey.
Worthwhile endeavor.
Okay, well, that was fun. Hey, Brock, thanks for joining, man, and good luck in your endeavors out there and putting up with John. We feel for you because we barely can do it, and we only do it like an hour a week. So
yeah.
I appreciate it. I love the podcast. I'm a loyal listener.
We appreciate that. So Brock has already rated, subscribed it, and reviewed. You should as well, listeners. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.